teachers of the Fernando School, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. May 17th, 1903. To the teachers of the Fernando School. I have something to say in regard to the school at Fernando. Last night I was in earnest conversation with the school faculty. I was bearing them a decided message. We are very grateful to God that there have been conversions in the school. But the school is not in all things reaching the high standard to which it may attain. A mistake was made in choosing the name adopted, and in the announcement of studies that it was said would be taught. It is not wise for a new school to lift its banner and promise a high grade of work before it has proved that it is fully able to do preparatory work as it should be done. It should be the great aim in every intermediate school to do most thorough work in the common branches. In every school that is established among us, the teachers should begin humbly, not grasping the higher rounds of the ladder before they have climbed the lower ones. They are to climb round after round, beginning at the bottom. They are to be learners, even as they teach the common branches. When they have come down to the simplicity of true education, they will better understand how to prepare students for advanced studies. Teachers are to learn as they teach. Advancement is to be made, and by advancement, experience is to be gained. Our teachers are not to think that their work ends with giving instruction from books. They should devote several hours each day to working with the students in some line of manual training. This should in no case be neglected. In every school there should be those who have a store of patience and disciplinary talent. It should be the part of these to see that every line of work is kept up to the highest standard. Lessons in neatness, order, and thoroughness are to be given to the students. They are to be taught to keep everything in the school and about the grounds in perfect order. A teacher should learn to control himself before he attempts to deal with the youth. If he is not a constant learner in the school of Christ, if he has not the discernment and discrimination that enable him to employ wise methods in his work, if he cannot control those in his charge with firmness, yet pleasantly and kindly, how can he be successful in his teaching? The teacher who is not under the control of God needs to heed the invitation, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29-30. Everyone acting in the capacity of a teacher should learn daily of Jesus, wearing his yoke of restraint, sitting in his school as a student, obeying the rules of Christian principle. The teacher who is not under the guidance of the great teacher will not be able to meet successfully the different developments that will arise as the result of the perversity of the children and youth with whom he is dealing. Let the teacher bring love and peace and cheerfulness into his work. Let him not allow himself to become angry or provoked. The Lord is looking upon him with intense interest to see if he is being educated by the great teacher. The child who loses his self-control is far more excusable than the teacher who allows himself to become angry and impatient. When a teacher has a reproof to give, let him give it in a soft, gentle voice. Let him be careful not to make the child stubborn by speaking to him harshly. Let him follow every correction with drops of the oil of kindness. His heart should be softened by love and kindness. He should never forget that he is dealing with Christ in the person of one of Christ's little children. Let it be a settled maxim that in all school discipline, faithfulness and love are to reign. When a student is corrected in such a way that he cannot get the idea that the teacher desires to humiliate him, love for the teacher springs up in his heart.